can we help? Denied. No, you're not helping. And when you first read it, you think, well, that's a bit ungrateful. It's a bit harsh, really. These enemies, these people tried to disrupt the work that was going on, because it clearly doesn't work to discourage, to frighten, and to frustrate. Or how many times have you or me come under those three? Hi. We're on the fourth session of the book of Ezra. And one of the things that we notice as a drive-by comment, at the beginning of chapter 4, it says this, that the enemies of the people who were doing the building came along and offered their help. And they were turned down. It was like, can we help? Denied. No, you're not helping. And at first hearing of that, when you first read it, you think, well, that's a bit ungrateful, and it's a bit harsh, really. But we've also got to remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, it talks about discernment. And I want to look at us with us now to look at why perhaps these people turned down the help. And as we read through these things, it tells us that in the very next few verses, in chapter 4 and verse 4, it starts to tell you that these enemies, these people, tried to disrupt the work that was going on. They tried to do it. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment, that they tried to, because it clearly doesn't work. And I want to know why it doesn't work. Now, but when I read these things to you, I want you to think about the people that are in your circle of friends. And remember that this is thousands of years old. But I want us to think, does any of these things actually fit with some people that I know? Or does it fit with me? Because this is the tactics that they used to try to discourage them from doing what God was asking them to do. So listen, chapter 4, verse 4. Then the residents tried to discourage. And this is how they tried to do it. They tried to discourage them. They tried to discourage them and frighten the people of Judah to stop them from doing their work. They bribed agents to work against them to frustrate their plans. Now, I don't know, when you read that, or you hear those three things, to discourage, to frighten, and to frustrate. How many people in your circle of friends, or how many times have you or me come under those three? Discouraged, frightened, and frustrated. It doesn't sound like that this isn't a modern book to me. It sounds a pretty good representation of what goes on in a lot of our lives in the 21st century. So when we look at this, discourage, just take the word apart a moment. Discourage, to remove courage from people, to take away the courage to do the right thing. It's like disarming. It's like removing the component that gives you the courage to do the right thing. It's almost like removing bravery. Now, when I think about brave people, or I think about courageous people, I often think, wow, they must be people who aren't scared. But then I realize bravery and courage isn't the absence of fear. It's still being scared spitless, but still doing the right thing even while you are scared spitless. And often we think, well, I'm too afraid to do that, so it's obviously not something I'm made to do. But what if it is? What if the Holy Spirit comes along into our lives and takes people who have no courage and gives them courage? So we've talked before about Peter in Luke chapter 22, when he denies his friend Jesus and doesn't have the courage to stand up for what he's supposed to stand up for. Yet that same guy in Acts chapter 2, just a few chapters later, after the Holy Spirit comes on him, he's filled with courage and boldness and bravery, and stands up and gives an incredible speech. So maybe, maybe when the Holy Spirit lives in our lives, one of the things he does, and I believe it is, because it says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he brings bravery back. He brings courage back. Not like Justin Timberlake. It's a weird thought. Not like Justin Timberlake saying, I'm bringing sexy back. He's bringing courage back. The Holy Spirit comes to give us courage back. The Bible says in John 10, chapter 10, that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He steals our courage and steals our bravery. And when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, I've come to give life to the full. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes, who of course is part of the Trinity, which part of Jesus is, he brings that courage back to us. Which is a great thought, right? Now, what happens when you get discouraged is this. Often our mind goes to worst case scenarios. When we lose our courage, we become frightened of doing things, which is the next tactic, to discourage and to frighten the people to stop them doing what they're supposed to do. Now, often when you lose courage, your mind goes to these worst case scenarios and you become filled with fear. Now, my mum's is sort of a classic example of this, right? She would often say to me when I was gonna do stuff that maybe looked risky or scary or weird, if I was, you know, gonna climb on stuff and run on stuff, or if I was trying to balance across the top of the stair rail at the top of the stairs, she would immediately say, do you stop doing that? If you do that and you fall, you'll break your back. That was always the outcome. You're gonna break your back and spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair. And it was this fear, this discouragement to actually do anything that was vaguely risky. There was never like, you might fall off and break your arm, or you might fall off and bruise your head or your shoulder. It was always, you're gonna break your back and spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair. Worst case scenario. I had somebody who would always tell me, I used to go fishing just below the lock gates of a lock, where the gates used to open, the water used to come pounding down through. And as the water would come down through, it would aerate the water, so there was lots and lots of fish there. And somebody used to come along and tell me from my family, don't go fishing down below the lock gates, because if those lock gates give way and the water comes out, you'll be dead before you know it. Worst case scenario. I was having a great time fishing there. And then, and when I went back and fished there, I kept looking at the lock gates thinking, I wonder if they're gonna let go. They'd been there for decades. They weren't gonna let go at any point. But this fear, this irrational fear, when we get discouraged, stops us doing the very things that we're actually supposed to be doing, which is quite a strange thing. Now listen to this. They bribed agents to work against them to frustrate frustration. Ever felt frustrated? Let me tell you, I was driving down yesterday from Joffrey Lakes. Been up there with Danny, the mountain goat, I was driving with Tesfalim back into town from up at Joffrey Lakes there, and we got behind a tourist. Bless him, it's great to see him in town spending money, but they were driving 40 kilometers an hour. It was like, you drive like a slug. You know, and 40 kilometers an hour along that beautiful road that you, and so they were just crawling along, and there was a line of traffic behind them, which I was part of. And I looked across at Tesfali, but I said, this is so frustrating. I feel like God is working on my patience. And when you're frustrated, you want to take risks you shouldn't be taking. Frustration. Like when that last bolt won't come off the oil pan underneath your car, and you skid your knuckles on the metalwork, and when you're frustrated, often you end up damaging things. In our frustration, we can damage relationships, we can damage friendships, we can damage working in progress, we can damage all these sorts of things. And it's a terrible thing. Things get damaged out of frustration. And I don't understand sometimes why that happens to us, but it's like we lash out against the people who are closest to us. Now, I finished drywalling our ceiling when we were doing our reno, and wouldn't you know it, just after that, we had a leak above that ceiling. And I was sitting down in the sitting room, looking across at the ceiling over the, in the kitchen, and it's nice and smooth. It took forever to get it all smooth and nice. And I saw this wet patch. I was frustrated. And, you know, I said to Miriam, I said, I am just frustrated. I go, you know what she does? She said, and when she sees me getting frustrated at things, it's like, look, just sit down, just relax, let's have a cup of coffee, and then we'll figure it out. And that's one of the great things about being in relationship with different people. And that's one of the reasons why these tactics actually don't work. So let me show you why these don't work. Because when you get frightened and scared, and when we get discouraged and when we get frustrated, we need to figure out why this doesn't work. Now, let me tell you why. It says they tried to frustrate them. They tried to make them scared. They tried to make them discouraged, and it clearly didn't work. And we're given some reasons for that in the chapters before. Now, we've already looked at these, so I just want to briefly go back over and show how important they are. When these people began to build, they built an altar that was honoring to God, not them. They wanted to honor God. And if our motive is to honor God, it guards against being frightened. It guards against being discouraged. It guards against getting frustrated. It guards against all these things. So when we hear those things, and when we hear rumors and things that try to frustrate us, remember, we're trying to honor God, not ourselves. And not only were they trying to honor God, they knew what the word said. Now, how do I know that? Because they did everything that they did according to the law of Moses. That's what it says. Now, you might wonder why I keep looking around. It's because every now and again I hear a rock move or a twig break, and I'm just wondering if there's a mountain lion or a bear going to sneak up on me. You will see it before I will. Okay, so that's cool. But every time they try to get frustrated and they're honoring God, they go back to, they get their way of honoring God by going back to what the word says. They did everything according to what was written down. Now, when we're trying to honor God, and if we get ourselves into the Word of God, we find out that He tells us not to have fear, that He tells us not to be frightened and discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be full of courage. Build each other up in the most holy faith. All of these things are reasons why this didn't work. And it's just a wonderful thought, right? Now, another reason it didn't work is this. They knew the Word of God. They honored God. They knew the Word of God. But they weren't working on their own. Now, this is so important. They weren't building on their own. They were building together. Remember, right at the beginning, it said that they went off and they had a unity of purpose. They had a singleness of purpose, a singleness of heart. They had one vision in mind. And they did this together. Now, why is that important? Well, because in this book called Ecclesiastes, which is a strange name for a book, I used to call it Ecclesiasticals, right? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this, that it's better to work together, because then if one falls, the other person can come along and encourage them and help to pick them up. Now just think, we often think about that in terms of working in twos. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out in groups of two. And we often refer to that. And that's great. But imagine how much more great it is. Imagine how much more effective and how brilliant it would be if instead of having one person to encourage you, you had 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 in your group. Like we often say, when we meet together to pray on a Thursday night, it's like an encouragement group. We sit down and we talk about all the things that the God who lives does in our week. as Mr. Fox used, Al Fox used to say, that we give God stories about the God who lives. And we encourage each other in that. And we sit around in this group and then we decide, what are we going to pray about this week? And we make lists and we pray through those things. And the next week we come and we talk about how God turned up in the things that we prayed about the week before. Those encouragement things are so important. There's an old preacher story, and I don't know if it's true. Preachers use it all the time. I actually haven't, I don't think, ever in 30 years of preaching, but I'm going to now. There was a guy who stopped turning up to church, and the pastor went along to visit him. And they sat down, and there was a coal fire burning in the fireplace. Not a log fire, a coal fire. I suppose it would work with logs the same, a little bit more messy. And the pastor sat down with this guy who'd stopped coming to church, right next to his coal fire. And the pastor leaned forward with the tongs of in the poker set that's at the side of most traditional fireplaces. He got those big metal tongs and he took one piece of burning coal out of that fire and he sat it down on the hearth and then put the fire back. Put the tongs back in the placement next to the fire. And then he just sat back and they watched the fire burning in the hearth. And that piece of coal that was glowing red when it was in the fire started to suddenly get duller and duller and duller, and the flame and heat in it diminished. He actually didn't say a word to the guy. And as they watched this coal go black and lose all its heat and energy, the guy turned and looked at the pastor and he said, okay, I'll see you in church on Sunday. See, when we isolate ourselves, we lose the ability to generate the heat that we should be generating. God put us on this earth and he put us in groups. He didn't just leave one human being on their own. Now, sometimes through circumstances, we become isolated, and that's happened in recent history, right? And people keep saying how they miss being together. And the online community thing, it isn't really scratching where people are itching, which most people actually knew to begin with. The online communities really don't give you everything that you need. And people are missing being together. And I read this story and I think, yeah, they're building together, but they're not just building together. They're building together for each other. This is not a selfish building. This is building something so that everybody can benefit. This is not me building my own house. This is a group of people building together the temple that's dedicated to God that they will all meet together in. Now think about that for a moment. Building together to benefit each other. That is a great way to describe the kingdom of God. Building together, honoring God, knowing his Bible, knowing his word, honoring him, building together to benefit each other. Wow. No wonder the enemy wants to frustrate what we're doing. No wonder the enemy wants to frustrate all the things that are happening. No wonder the enemy wants to wreak havoc and to discourage and to frustrate and to frighten. It's a beautiful thing when we can build together for each other. If you're feeling discouraged today, if you're feeling frightened today, if you're feeling frustrated today and you feel you might damage things, get together with a group of friends, good friends. Get together with people who love God, who know the word and want to honor God, and ask them to pray for you. It's a great thing to do. I love it when we get to do that on Thursdays. I love it when we meet together on Friday mornings at the cafe and we sit there and we often discuss stuff and we'll often pray together right there at the table in the middle of the cafe. It's a great, great thing to do. So listen, I want to encourage you today. If you're in a situation where you feel you're discouraged, you're afraid and you're frustrated, recognize where that comes from and recognize that God forewarns you about it and he's here to help. So bless you. Thanks for joining me. Hey, I didn't get snuck up on by any wild animals, which is a great thing. It's a beautiful place to be. Bless you, and thanks for listening.